Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to bring massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. Y'all, I am so excited to welcome my guest today. Top 1% in the nation realtor, Dallas realtor, public speaker, mom, and TikTok superstar, Courtney Benson. Courtney, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. And I love that you threw in the y'all, because I know I'm on a podcast from the South when I get the y'all.
That's it, baby. That's it. Well, Courtney,
I love it.
Give us the backstory. Tell us a little bit of how you got into the real estate business and how you got to where you are with your TikTok stuff, and you're selling a ton of real estate. So tell us how you got here and give us a little bit of that backstory.
I think overall how I have got anywhere and moved the needle was I made one decision and I was super naive about it. Honestly, that when I look back at all of the things that I've done, it was always one decision and I just went forward without any hesitation of something going wrong. For 14 years, I worked in the luxury cosmetic field. I was a celebrity makeup artist. I worked on Britney Spears to Missy Elliott.
I had a good time.
It was a good 14 years. And when 2008, 2009 hit, remember those traumatic years?
Oh, yeah.
When the whole economy turned, people weren't buying luxury cosmetics anymore. Things just, the world had changed. So I also had two babies at that point. I developed a fear of flying. So I decided to just take a step back from it and, you know, I'm going to resign from that part of my life. And I did. And then 2 weeks later, my husband got laid off. So there we were with two kids and no jobs and no prospect of jobs. So we took some money that we have and we thought, well, we were brilliant. We were going to go buy our jobs. We're going to buy our jobs. And I remember very clearly, I was sitting in my office and my husband came in. He said, dry cleaners, let's buy dry cleaners. Now, mind you, we didn't even dry clean our own clothes, but I was like, brilliant. Sure, let's do that. And so we bought these two dry cleaners in Frisco, Texas, and had no business doing that. And it was hard. There were things I learned along the way coming from that retail space. I took every inch of the store and I made it a boutique. We sold organic handmade items from across Texas. It was like a little Etsy store. People loved it. People loved that our kids were there. Like, we really became ingrained into the community. But, you know, when your bills for two stores are $35,000 a month, and that does not include your own salary, people are getting their shirts ironed for $1.25 a piece. It's rough. It was rough. So we had to do what we had to do. I started a house cleaning business. My husband and I would go clean houses on the side when we weren't at the store for 10 hours a day. It was very humbling. We both come from families of means, so it's very humbling to go clean people's houses that were not even as nice as our own. Our neighbor would babysit the kids for free. We lived on about $60 a week food budget. We just did what we had to do. I did discover that I'm very scrappy when it comes to making money and taking care of my family. So I did things from, I created art boards. Like, I'm not even an artist, and people were buying these art boards for me. I was doing interior design boards. Again, not trained in any of it, just whatever I could do to make money. So how real estate came into my life is there were a lot of realtors who would come into the dry cleaner. And I would talk to him. You know, my dad had quite a bit of real estate, and my husband and I used to love to go look at real estate, like all that good stuff. And so one day I was in the back of the store and I was doing an interior design board, and the email pops up, you know, in the corner. And this email popped up and said, Groupon, $199 real estate courses. And I clicked on it, and it was definitely a God universe thing, because I bought the thing. I actually don't really even remember making a conscious decision to purchase it. I bought it. We had $237 in our bank account. as a family of four. And wow. I spent $199 buying a Groupon. I immediately freaked out, tried to return it. They don't let you return it because it's downloadable. So I called my husband and we were not getting along. When stress and finances collide and, you know, they're about to, you know, your car gets repossessed, they're about to come take your house too. Like, it is rough and it's hard to stay connected in that. So we were not getting along. And I called him and I was crying. He said, "What's the problem?" You know, I said, "Well, I just spent all of our money." And he's pretty chill. He goes, "Okay, what'd you buy?" And I said, "Real estate classes." And he said, "You know what? You'll be great." And it took me a year to complete. There were things that went along the way. At one point I quit and a friend of mine had come in who was kind of crappy to me off and on throughout the thing. And she said, "I'm going to get my real estate license." And I was like, "The hell you are." So that was like kicked me in the butt and just that little bit of, you know, coming at me. And I finished my license. Took me about a year. And I reached out to everybody that would come into the dry cleaner. We ended up being able to sell the stores, thank God. And I stapled my card to every bag when people picked up. I found everybody on Facebook and I just started marketing myself. And people called me because they liked me. And I learned that it wasn't necessarily the knowledge I had, it was the confidence and the trust that people had in me. That's kind of what propelled me forward into it. Now it's been 13 years.
I love that.
Since I've been in it. Yeah.
That's such an awesome and a super inspiring story. I love that. You just took a chance and you gave your almost last dollar for a family of four and took a jump.
Yeah. I didn't know it was supposed to be hard. I had one agent come in and I ended up working with her. We ended up being at the same brokerage and I would run into her with the top producer things. And she asked me one day what I was doing. I said, "Oh, I'm studying to get my real estate license." And then she told me how hard it was. And I was like, okay. And then I got my license and I didn't realize people failed and I didn't realize it was supposed to be hard. So my ignorance just really carried me through. I think there is something to that. You know, we'll talk about it going through that now, just not letting your subconscious absorb other people's problems that you assign to yourself before you've even tried. And that was big for me. I didn't know I was supposed to fail. So I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So at what point did the TikTok thing come into play? Because you've got a huge TikTok channel and you get a lot of referrals from that. And it's a lot of people hear TikTok and they think, oh, it's kids dancing or whatever. But when I think about TikTok, I think about a few people who are absolutely crushing it. You're one of those people that I think about. And I just love the way that you're doing it. I love that your vibe. I love that what you put out. I love that your hook. So we'll talk about that in a minute too. But talk about TikTok and where that came into the scenario and at what point did you jump on that and say, "Hey, let me just try this and see what happens."
Well, again, it was just complete being naive and ignorant to any of it. So it happened during COVID. I've always been the person who's like, "You have to invite me to a party, but I'm not going to go." Like, I'm like the outgoing person who, you know, has to recoil back into the house after I've spent all my energy. So during COVID, I was very surprised that I missed people. And so I started a Facebook Live show called The Hey Courtney Show during COVID. And I would just interview people from their homes. And at that time, why I'm actually surprised I did it is because I was 130 pounds heavier than I am now. And that was my cross to bear. Like, that was just, no pun intended, ate me alive every single day. And, you know, I even went back to go look for photos of like me with clients with sold signs and all that. And I couldn't find any because I avoided the camera like it was a full-time job. Like people would get out and they're like, "Oh, let's take our picture." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you know what? I'll take it for you." And so just anything I could do to avoid being in front of the camera to, you know. So the fact that I got on the camera and started talking to people, I still to this day is mind-boggling because it was such a hurdle for me. So I got on and Nobody made fun of me. In fact, they were like, this is great. You should do more. I want to be on your show. Then TikTok rolled around because I was doing that on Facebook. TikTok came about and my kids got on TikTok. And so I just, in an effort to see what they were doing, I got on and I was like, oh, this is funny. Like, and so we ended up buying the COVID puppy. We got a COVID puppy. And the kids said, well, let's do a dance with our new puppy. And I go, okay. So we did a viral dance, and I had the dog in front of me strategically, so you can't see me in my head. That's what I'm thinking. And so I did a couple of those. And then one day I got on and I was sharing my experience with new construction. And I was so frustrated. I'm a $1 million buyer. She was like number 200 and something on this wait list. They wanted it, I think it was like 30% down. She couldn't pick any finishes. Like, it was just insane. And so I shared this story. I was sitting on the couch, had this hat on, and I started talking about what my client was going through and what I was just like, blown away that this is how people are being treated. And then the next day, American Legend called me and said, hey, your video circulated our corporate office and we can't help but to think you were talking about us. And I said, I was talking about you. And then we had that conversation and she said, well, let me explain why. And I said, you don't need to explain why. You're a for-profit company. I get exactly why you're doing what you're doing. But if you think it sounds bad, it's because it is and it feels bad. And so I just hung up from that call and I was like, oh, I mean, that's some power. Like, what else could I talk about? Okay. And then I started talking about real estate and people were like, please stop dancing. Please talk about real estate. And so that was kind of it for me. And I just started talking about real estate. When you lose 130 pounds over the course of being on TikTok, when your car gets repossessed, when you have to sell your house, there wasn't a whole lot of humility I had left. Like, I owned all those things. There wasn't anything somebody was going to say about me that would have embarrassed me, because I'm like, yeah, I did all of that. I did all of that. And look at me now. Look, I'm still standing. I'm still here. You're still watching me. So I just said what I had to say when things happened, because I'm also, I don't know, I guess it's just my personality. There's so much fluff in our industry where everything's great. Everything's powerful. Yeah. Everything's like, oh, it's so robust. It's so, all these corporate things. And I'm like, oh my God, shut up. Like, not everything is powerful. Not every speaker is great. Not everything is moving somebody to do something. Like, and it feels so not authentic. And it feels just, and then what happens is over time, you hear the same rhetoric from the same people. And then you go, is it me? Like, am I the one that doesn't get it? Am I failing? Are they enlightened and I'm not? Like, you start to feel that way. And I finally just was like, hey, y'all, I sell a whole lot of houses. I don't do yoga in the morning. I don't have power greens. I don't listen to podcasts all the time. I drink too much coffee. I watch my 600-pound live and I listen to 90s gangster rap in my car. And I still sell 50 houses a year.
Yeah.
And sometimes I like to check out and take a nap. Like, can somebody just be freaking honest? Like, that was kind of how it started. And I was like, I guess I'll tell you guys that that's not always true. Like, you don't have to be this time blocking machine to be successful. Because I think people see this pedestal of people all the time. And then you feel like, well, I'm not that, so I can't be successful. I have to change who I am if I want to be successful. And in fact, maybe you're going to be successful because you're not like that. So I just kind of became the poster child for that, I guess.
Yeah.
And it resonated with people.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because I see all these videos all the time and I feel like the ones that go like crazy viral is this overly made up girl walking in this tight skirt, and then it becomes the videos where everybody's ripping on that. It's crazy. Like, and it's like, can we be real? Can we be authentic? Can we tell stories that really like grip and resonate with people? And I feel like what you've done is you've created this TikTok and this style on TikTok and even on your other social media platforms where you're hooking people in from the beginning and they're resonating with you like right away. But I love even how you say it, right? You know, you say whatever, my name's Courtney Benson. I sell 50 houses a year in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or whatever. So I even love the way that you say it. And I would encourage agents to go and check out the way and your style of how you present it, because you do start with a really cool hook. You'll say something really cool. And I even told you when we started the pod, I said one I caught that I really liked was, my seller knocked on my damn door, or the agent knocked on his damn door.
Yeah.
The agent knocked on my seller's damn
door. That went viral. Yeah.
So like, it's stuff like that. Like, it's just, you know, okay, now I'm biting, right? And like, I'll hear out what Courtney has to say about this weird situation that happened to her. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about, because I know a lot of realtors use video in their business, and I highly recommend agents do use video in their business, but authentically well and authentically to them, and not trying to show up like somebody else is doing. So let's talk about what's important on video. How are you structuring these things with your knowledge and your experience in multiple platforms and having success by generating leads on video? What's important for people to include in video, and what should they be putting out if they're trying to have some actual deals from video? Let's talk about not going famous or whatever. Let's talk about doing deals.
And being viral has nothing to do with people picking up the phone and calling you. In fact, being viral gives you the numbers, the vanity metrics, but it doesn't get you clients. So people think you have to get a certain amount of numbers, followers to get calls. In fact, it's not that. That's not the case at all. And the steadier you build your following, you're getting the right people. And the thing about the algorithm and, oh, just kids are on there and all that. No, your algorithm will reflect who you are, because they want to keep you on the platform. So if you're interested in dancing girls, then you're going to get dancing girls. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's people will follow you. The my followers, 73% of the people that follow me are women my age. So they find you, and because the algorithm wants to give the viewer what they're looking for and what they gravitate towards, so you stay on the platform, they feed our ego, they feed our political stance, they feed our lifestyle, they give us, it is an echo chamber of what we love. And so that we get that dopamine hit all the time. So that's if you're speaking to a certain person and it gravitates with them, that's who your follower is going to be. For me, I think some of the biggest things about how I've converted so well, since January, I've had 84 referrals from TikTok.
Nice.
So I believe it's because, one, I only talk about real estate. And you don't see me scattered all over the place, where one day I'm talking about going somewhere with my kids, and the next day I've got the sold photo, and then I'm doing a walkthrough of the house, and then I keep it consistent. So when you see my face and I come across your page, you know what I'm going to talk to you about. And I'm either going to make you think, I'm going to make you laugh, or I'm going to piss you off. And so, you know, sometimes all three at one time. So you know what to expect from me. And because you know what to expect from me, you build a relationship with me because you understand me. And then what happens is, over time, I am now a comforting person in your life. So, I was trying to explain to people, we get hit about this sphere thing all the time when we get into real estate. Like, who's your sphere? Talk to your sphere, go do all of these, text them, email them, drip campaigns, drop buys. I mean, it's just, my God, by the time we're done with the life cycle of that client, we have doubled any money that we ever made off of them by just time, effort, and gifts. Like, that's just ridiculous. What a horrible way to sustain your business. So social media for me, by the way, I spend $0 marketing myself, $0.
Nice.
And this year I've done a whole lot of transactions. My price point's been lower, but I'll sell over 50 homes this year. And $0 spent marketing myself. But what happens when you show up consistently, and why consistency is really a key factor in creating a relationship with somebody through the camera, is that I'm there when they need me. So people go to social media to let down, to be entertained, to check out of the world for a minute. When we are texting them when they're at work, when we're sending them drip campaigns when they're at work, it is irritating. And we know because when people do it to us as realtors, who's our person? The lender.
Yeah.
The lender calling us when we're in the middle of a phone call or we're waiting for something important. And we get a lender calling us like, hey, I see you sell a lot of houses and I would love to take you for coffee. Okay. Well, first of all, I can buy my own coffee. Why would I want to spend an hour going to coffee with you? I don't know you. And clearly, if I'm doing enough business to make you want to call me, I'm busy. Like, why would I do that? And so I feel like that we do that with our clients. Like, you know, we sold them this house, we had a relationship with them, and some are better than others, but now we're constantly reminding them what we do, because God forbid somebody come in their office and wants to sell a house or whatever, and it's just that constant irritation. Well, what happens over time is when they see our name on their phone or they see that we are calling them, they're like, what now, you know? But when you go to social media, people are naturally more open to receiving a message. So the experience they have with me on social media is, one, I'm always there and I'm entertaining them, I'm educating them. And so when my name comes up, or when they think about real estate or they think about me, my hope and my goal and what I'm training people to know about me is I make them happy. And that little intro I do, oh, by the way, my name is Courtney Benson. I sell about 50 homes a year here in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area over the last 13 years. It is a sidebar, as a way to establish myself as being credible about what I'm about to say. And it's also, again, it's a consistency of repetition. I was teaching a class the other day and one of the agents said, oh, well, you always say this. And I said, what do I say? And he goes, my name is Courtney Benson. And he repeated it verbatim. And then he looked at me and he goes, damn. And I said, right? And he goes, oh, I know that about you. And I said, correct. So if somebody mentions real estate in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area, you're going to be like, I know Courtney Benson. She sells 50 houses a year in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Because I've just ingrained that into your subconscious. So I don't need to. I am going to be more relatable and have more of a relationship with a person who watches me than you popping by once a month or dropping off a Thanksgiving pie.
Yeah.
That's not a relationship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is how social media unfolds. We know we follow people all the time and we're like, oh my God, I love them. We have never met them.
Yeah.
We are inspired by them. They make us laugh. And that's because when we watch them, we are open to receiving their message. But if you text people annoyingly or call them or ask them to do something that really is a one-sided favor at the end of the day, we know that. We know that. And then you start associating irritation with that person. Well, nobody wants to be irritated. That's the thing, is staying consistent, staying on message, teaching people what you want them to know about you. And my other thing too that I tell people, because they'll say, you know, maybe you don't get good clients from social media. I get amazing clients from social media. And a lot of it has to do with, like, well, I guess people will say, how do I let them know who I am? I don't show things specifically, but I guarantee you know things about me just from watching, because you'll know things about me from the background of where I film. You can see my personal aesthetic. Sometimes you can see my car. Maybe you'll see my purse in the corner. You'll see my kids off in the distance. People are always watching what's behind you when you're recording, even more so than your words. They're taking in who you are as a person, and they're looking for ways to connect with you. Because people want to work with people that sound like them, live like them, look like them, because it's comfort. It's a bias that creates comfort. And when you're spending a bunch of money with somebody, you want to feel comforted. And so people do that. So if you're putting out things and you're going to attract the client that you're wanting to attract just based off of what's around you. And so that too is something that people will pick up. So there's a lot of things to it. And sometimes I think that's even more important than the things that we say, is people are subconsciously scanning your video looking for things to connect with you. But I'm always on message. I always stay consistent. And I never script anything. Sometimes I'll just have like a hook idea in my head. But I just, whatever comes out of my mouth comes out of my mouth. Just like if I had picked up a phone and FaceTimed my best friend when something happened, I'm like, oh my God, you have to hear this. I have to tell you this. And that's how I deliver a message.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on hooks and how are you selecting those, like your beginning of your videos, or just it draws you in from the beginning? Mm-hmm. You start with a hook and then you add your Courtney Benson introduction, yeah, and then you move on to your topic. How do you decide on what a good hook looks like? And like if a realtor's like, I don't even know what a hook is. So maybe dumb it down for them and just be like, what's your thoughts on like hooks and how you start your videos? Because I think that is super, super, super powerful on why I think a lot of these things that you do go viral or have this crazy amount of upside. So tell me about hooks and what's your thoughts on those?
So you have 3 to 5 seconds to entertain somebody and make them curious enough to want to stay to hear what you have to say. And people are curious when you either insult them or intrigue them. So, for instance, I had a video that went viral where I talked about refrigerator magnets and people came for me and it was hysterical. But the beginning of the video is I said, here are 3 things that make your home look cheap. Like, now, most people would be like, if you're getting ready, this is the video most people do, is the camera comes on and it's like, hi, my name's Courtney Benson and I sell houses in Dallas, Texas. If you're getting ready to sell your home, here are 3 things that you might want to, one, why are you breathing? Like I'm already bored. Like, I've already swiped on you. I don't care who you are because you've not said anything that makes me want to care about who you are. And I don't know if I'm selling a house. Maybe. I don't know. I've thought about it, but I don't necessarily consider myself a house seller. But now if I come on and I'm like, here's 3 things that make your house look cheap. And I'm like, either I'm going to agree with her or she's going to piss me off. Like, those are things I want to know what this girl thinks looks cheap, because I'm going to agree with her or I'm going to mock her. That's it. And so then I was like, let's talk about here. First of all, here's why you're going to listen to me, is because I'm the person who goes into the house with the people buying your house. And here's what we talk about when we get in the car. We talk about your house. Here's what we say. The refrigerator magnets, it makes your house look cheap. Nobody cares that you went to Colorado. Take the damn magnet off. So that opened up then a whole different conversation of, refrigerator magnets don't affect my equity. In fact, they do, because when you walk in a house, you're selling an emotion and you're selling a feeling and you're selling a lifestyle. And if you have a bunch of crap stuck to your refrigerator, it looks cluttered, it looks cheap, and that is not something that people are leaving that. They have that crap on their refrigerator. They don't want to buy a hope and a dream with the same crap that they're taking from that house to this house. Even if they are, they don't want to feel it when they write the check. So you better sell them a lifestyle. You better sell them a feeling. These are all subconscious things. And they won't even be able to articulate it. But later they'll get home, you know, when they want to write an offer and they're like, I mean, I like it and it has everything, but it's just there's something. And I'm like, is it the short curtains and the rug that's too small that makes the room feel awkward? Oh my God, is that it? Yeah, it feels cheap and it feels disconnected. Yes, that it's like the energy of it. So I mean, that's what we're selling. That's what we're helping people figure out. And so those little things. So that started the conversation. And then I made all these other videos off of that one video explaining the psychology of what we do as agents when we have buyers who can't articulate why they think something and why they're devaluing your house. It could be your furniture's dirty. Furniture doesn't even stay there. But they see it and they're like, and it brings back all of the things, like I have to go home and clean the, you know, jelly off my couch. I have to go. And it's all these subconscious feelings that they have that's devaluing their house. And it will be reflected in the offer they write. And like that low level kind of thing. So it started that kind of conversation. So it's just kind of grown, you know. But again, I always stay consistent. I'm always on message. We always talk about real estate.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I love one thing I love is, you know, you do have this positive attracting vibe to you and it's just so powerful. And I feel like people are coming because they want the tea, right? They want what Courtney's thoughts are on this particular topic and everything else. And, you know, I know mindset and things like that are like super important to you. And you're big on like having a positive mindset in the market and in your business, right? Uh-huh. And just recently, a major event happened in your life that challenged your mindset. Would you share a little bit about that event so that people can get some insight on what's happening with you? And I know it's a personal thing, and I appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing that with us.
Yeah. Well, I will start out by saying I've never been a mindset person. I thought it was lame. And I was just like, it felt like one of those woo-woo kind of things. And it wasn't until a couple years ago, I had my biggest year, and I sold $30 million. And I spent the whole of January crying. I was unhappy. I was miserable. I can't do it again. That, like, just awful. And then I realized that I hit my goal. I exceeded my goal. Why was I still not happy? Okay, there's got to be something else. And I came across this girl. Her name's Ryan Gillen on TikTok. And I ended up hiring her. She became my business therapist. I call her my business therapist. And we unpacked a lot of the things. And one of the things she said is, you can't have a happy ending if you don't have a happy journey. And my thing was, I got to the end. I got to my goal. I did what I said I was going to do, but I was not happy the entire way through. So I was never going to be happy at the end. So I shifted my focus to, I'm going to put the ending to the side, and I'm going to focus on being happy every day. And because I'm happy every day, or I attempt to be happy or find things that fulfill me and bring joy to me, then naturally the goal will occur. Because I don't have the end goal there every day in my head. I just have every day in my head. So today I'm going to do this. Today I'm going to find this to be happy about, grateful about, things like that. So it's been going very well. I even wrote a book about it, Manifest Your Market. It's on Amazon. It's a journal about, which I did last year. I did the last 60 days of the year last year, and I had the best Q1 ever. Got to do that again this year. But
nice.
So a week ago on Tuesday, I found out I have breast cancer, which was just like out of left field. Like, this doesn't run in my family. It was never on my radar. It was not my story to live. Like, I feel like somebody handed me a script that was not mine. And I was like, I got this. This is good. This is fine. Okay. I can do this. And then on Tuesday of this week, so just a couple days ago, 2 days ago, I did not feel like that. There's a medication that I have to take that I'm extremely nervous about, which I told you is I took it for the first time this morning. And everything I knew and thought went out the window very quickly. And I just thought, oh my God, I'm being stupid. What am I going to positive myself out of cancer? Like, how dumb. Like, that's just, and literally everything just came crashing down. And then I got on the phone with my business therapist. We recorded it. I actually made a podcast out of it because I wanted to share that even if you're trying to be positive, even if you want to be positive and change your mindset, because I really do believe, as I've studied it, that what we believe is what we experience. And so, you know, for me, I always thought I was really good at real estate because I can see every problem coming a mile down the road. Well, what I did was I brought problems to me because I looked for them. And so then going through this work, I have a mantra that I say every day, and I have retrained my brain to look for opportunity. Every day I look for opportunity, joy. I look for specific things throughout my day. And what I have found is when I believe it and when I say it, they come true. Like, since I've trained my brain to look for opportunities and experiences that I love, they come to me every day. And it's wild. And I'm just like, so I'm living that. But then, man, you get told you have cancer. And then it's like, well, how did that happen? I was grateful and I was living this life that I love and I've created. Like, why would that happen to me? Why did that happen to me? So Tuesday was pretty rough. And I had to forgive myself, not forgive myself, because that's not even the right word. I had to let myself feel those feelings. Feelings come in 90-second increments. And whatever I was feeling, I needed to feel and let it be. And move on from it and choose a new feeling. And, you know, when I was talking to Ryan, who's my business therapist, she said, I mean, what's the worst case scenario? You don't make it out. You don't make it through. So are you going to go through that being miserable and unhappy? Or is there a chance that your mind and your experience can be light and easy and confident and you do make it through? Either way, you're going to live with that experience. So choose your experience. But the fear is overwhelming, and the fear comes out of control. And I do have a need for control. That's what probably got me in this situation in the first place, control and stress. And I'm going to control my way out of it. And she's like, you cannot control your way out of cancer, Courtney. That's not a thing. You can't do that. But you can change how you think about your body and your mind. So this morning, she taught me how to write things down. And when I tell you the amazing things that have happened, there was an incident when I left a brokerage, and they gave me a bill for leaving said brokerage. Wow. That was very high and very, like, there were a whole lot of things to it. But anyways, I wrote out exactly how I wanted it to go. And I would not be paying that bill, because that was not my bill to be paid. I wrote it out. I believed it. I lived that. Bill went away. When I get up to speak, I write down exactly how I want it to go. It goes that way. Like, anytime I've had something big and I write out exactly how I want it to be, and I will accept nothing else, I find that it goes that way. So this morning, as I sat and looked at that pill, and I told you, it took me hours, because I found everything under the sun to do besides take that medication. So I decided to write it out. So I wrote down exactly what the medication was going to do. It's going to stop my cancer from growing. It's going to prevent me from getting cancer in the future. I am not energetically available for any side effects. Just not available. It's not going to happen to me, because I'm not here for it. That's not the intention of the medication. I'm only here for the intention of the medication, period, end of story. And that's all that I will accept. And that's, I just need to live in that. And that's what I will accept. I think that applies to so many things. We, you know, I was talking to you about when people share experiences, or people, like, even going back to me starting real estate. Oh, it's so hard. What is it? 80% of people fail, all of these things. I didn't know that. So I didn't know to look to be afraid. And we have information, access to so much information. And the things that we end up seeing are very sensationalized stories. And so what happens if you don't have anything else to fill your mind about that story, about lead generation, your clients, your business, your life, you will fill it with other people's stories, and you will fill it with stories that justify why you can't be successful. Well, I can't be successful. So-and-so wasn't. They said door knocking doesn't work. Cold call. So I can't do it because clearly it doesn't work. Social media doesn't work because it's just a bunch of kids. And so we start filling our mind with that. And then what happens is we experience that because that we're looking to validate ourselves. And so I think being very particular of not picking up other people's problems and carrying them as our own is a life-changing thing. So I went to a breast cancer awareness event last night. First one I've ever been invited to. Didn't want to be in the club, but here I am. And the first person got up and she told a really horrible story about mastectomy and having shared that she has cancer. She was a lender, and how it impacted her business, and nobody referred her. Big fear of mine, but I'm not going to allow that. That's not my story. So I listened. And when it was over, I chose to go home because I didn't want to hear the 5 other speakers. Because I didn't want their stories to be put on me, because my story is going to be how I want it to be. And I think that's important for all of us. Our businesses and our lives are how we choose it to be. We don't need to assign other people's problems to us.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And I love your mindset on it. And I love your power through it. And it's your choice to control the narrative of how this is going to go. And I'm sure there's going to be bad days, and there's going to be good days, and there's going to be days that you question your mindset, and you question everything about your business, and you're going to question that. So I just encourage you to stay strong and tell your story, even though it may be very tough, because I know that by telling your story, you're going to encourage other people who are in similar situations and how they can improve their narrative. and really power, you know, really amplify the power of this thing, because you've got the platform to tell it and you've got the ability to tell it, and you're totally awesome and everybody loves you. And I would just say, keep the power, keep sharing, keep giving it away, and keep, you know, just sharing the mindset through it, because it's just going to be a daily battle, I'm sure, day to day. And I think that you've made a huge impact, even just in what you've already put out and what you're continuing to put out and tell your story. And I hope that your business is amplified as well in this thing. And I hope that agents who are reaching out in our market have a trusted referral friend and partner in Courtney Benson out in Dallas. And she would love to help your people out in that market.
I would love that. That's I love what we do. I love it. I want to keep doing it. And it's actually helping me dealing with clients, going to do things. It's helping me not be in my own head. I also work with my husband for the last 8 years. He's an agent as well. So we work together, and I couldn't be more grateful for him, because he's able to pick things up when I can't. So just having somebody that you trust like that is huge. And I used to be such an isolated person. I can do it myself. Leave me alone. I can do it myself. Like, it was a badge of honor to just do it myself. And when I came over to Real in November, my husband and I, and we just came over to work with friends. I didn't care about rev share. I didn't know anything about it. None of that. And that, by the way, that's life-changing. Right there is life-changing. I realized how much community matters, and I had just not found mine. And this is the first time in 13 years of real estate that I'm having so much fun. I'm so supported, and I just absolutely love it. And I wish that for everybody, that they find their group and their people, because I've definitely found mine, and it couldn't have come at a better time, because I need them. Like my girls, who are my network, they've been texting me all morning, and we send each other jokes, and then we ask a question about real estate, and it is just like a lifeline, and that's what's carrying me through.
Yeah, I love that. And even just the universe and connecting us and through the podcasts, and somebody else mentioning your name a couple podcasts back of like, hey, you need to connect with Courtney. It's just super just encouraging that we can both be at the same company and be connected, you know, in a whole nother state, hours away or whatever, but yet still be able to share this encouragement for agents and helping them grow their business.
Yeah, it's a human experience. And I think it's a testament to the powers that be at Real. And to what Tamir has set up is that the culture of this company is next to none. And so it allows that. And I've never experienced that before. So I'm really grateful for it.
I love that. So I would definitely encourage you guys to go out and follow Courtney and see what she's putting out. Connect with her if you're, you know, listening to this podcast anywhere in the nation and you're curious about Real, you know, reach out to Courtney, because she's awesome, you know, and she can definitely help you with your growth and your business and putting some things in place to have success. And I encourage agents as well who are looking for a great referral partner in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. She is awesome, and I would highly recommend you connecting with her. And I hope that this amplifies, you know, your message, and it amplifies your business, and, you know, your challenges are just a speed bump in the process, and it's just going to be an opportunity to really have people deeply connect with Courtney and your story. And it may not seem like it now at the beginning of your journey, but I hope that this just amplifies your message, and it gives you a connection with agents that you can go really deep with. So,
Well, I appreciate you letting me share. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, no problem, Courtney. And thank you for being vulnerable with that. I know that's tough to share with people, but I think it will make a big impact. And I hope that our listeners can take a appreciation for their life and everything that they have, because yes, it may be a tough market right now, but you've got your life and you've got your day, you know, that you've gotten this one day. So make the best of the one day that you've got, you know.
Absolutely.
So Courtney, thank you again. I really, really appreciate you joining us in on the pod. It means the world. And I'm so excited to get to share this story with our listeners.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'll see you at Rise.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
I hope so. Absolutely. See you in November for sure. Yeah. But guys, I hope that you go connect with Courtney. I hope that you go follow her on TikTok and Instagram and some of the other platforms that she puts out some information. We're going to put some of the details for her book. If you want to go check that out, I'll put the link up for that in the podcast. Go support her there. I'll put a link to a lot of the different ways you can go connect with Courtney. And I hope that you guys go follow her and get some of that energy and some of that that things that she's putting out. So I really, really appreciate you guys listening in. Every morning we launch a brand new episode of this podcast on all the major audio platforms, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the others. So I hope that you continue to follow the podcast. You continue to follow awesome agents around the South like Courtney Benson. And I hope that you guys have an amazing day.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.